Well, Tim O'Brien is the Federal Shadow Climate Change and Energy Minister. I had the pleasure to talk to Ted for the first time, it would be a couple of months ago when he visited my neck of the woods, trying to push the government to commit to something that his government had committed to. That was about $100 million in getting one of these green hydrogen hubs off the ground. And the former coalition government had said they would establish, I think, about six of these around the country. Well, Ted has had a bit to say following AGL's announcement yesterday about the early closure of the Loy Yang A power station in the Latrobe Valley down in Victoria, which I think is the largest in Victoria. He said it's a disappointing outcome for Australian households and businesses grappling with soaring energy prices and the high cost of living pressures. And Ted O'Brien joins me now. Good morning, Ted.
Great to speak to you again, Richard.
Likewise. Thanks for your time. Yes, your thoughts on the announcement yesterday by AGL, which of course follows previous announcements about their coal-fired power stations here in the Hunter Valley.
Well, indeed. At Bayswater there, we know Liddell's closing, of course, first half of next year. Richard, to be honest, sort of just leaving the politics to the side for a moment, the big thing for me is you've got about 600 workers, and they would have had a pretty sleepless night last night, being told that AGL is going to bring forward the closure of that plant by 13 years. So for them, for their families, the local community in the Latrobe Valley, this is pretty tough news, and it's going to be the responsibility of the company to make sure that they carry those people, look after them. There's reports this morning that a lot of the local stakeholders were taken by surprise. And so before getting to the politics of the whole thing, probably just on the human side, we've got 600 people probably in a world of pain today.
Yes. Yeah. Look, I heard somebody being interviewed yesterday, and they said there's about $40 to $50 billion worth of renewable projects already underway down in the Latrobe Valley. So you'd think there'd be plenty of opportunities for people to transition into other work.
Well, this is going to be the challenge to move forward, and which is why I was a little bit surprised to hear some of the reports this morning that there was a lack of consultation, because AGL included, a lot of the major players are very aware of the importance of looking after their workforce. When I was at Liddell recently, I was getting some good briefings from their management team about how they're looking at managing the transition into new work for their workforce. And so, look, companies are onto it, but it really has to be a priority at the very local level.
Yeah. I mean, given that, they've brought it forward, but it's still more than 10 years away, so there's surely plenty of time for those 600 workers to either retrain or transition into other jobs. I mean, there's plenty of time to do that, surely?
Well, that should be the case, and that's going to be the responsibility of the business to make sure that is what happens, and
yeah,
if government can help, it should. But just, I think it's like anything, if that's what you're giving your life to, and there's probably multi-generational workers there, where, maybe dad worked there too, it's always a pretty hard pill to swallow.
Well, and today's the anniversary. It was on this day back in 1999 that the BHP Steelworks closed here in Newcastle, and boy, oh boy, that was a lengthy transition for many people, and many people, look, I know a couple of blokes that didn't get over that, and are still smarting. Just with regards to the government's, the new government's climate legislation, you've been quoted as saying Labor's legislation is a direct attack on Australian jobs and the prosperity of our regional communities. Would you just mind elaborating on that?
Yeah, well, happy to, Richard. And maybe I'll put it in the context of AGL's announcement yesterday, as well as we had another announcement yesterday about gas. The big risk we have for the Australian economy, and that includes big energy users, so big energy-intensive industries, big workforces, is skyrocketing power prices. This is the big risk we have, and power prices are continuing to go up. The second risk we have is an early closure of these 24/7 power generators before there's a replacement there and operational. Now, politically, the problem is Labor went to the election this year promising the Australian people that they would actually drive power prices down. It would be cheaper, not more expensive. For households, they were talking about $275 a year cheaper in their power prices. Now, since Anthony Albanese made that announcement, power prices have sort of gone up about $500. They're not coming down, they're going up. But when you're a business, not only do you feel that same pain, you have to question your viability to stick around. So I'm talking to a lot of businesses at the moment. I've been out and about in the regions, on the shop floor. We are talking to businesses that don't know if they need to close their doors. Some of these are small businesses, you know, bakers and butchers and so forth, but others are big energy users, and if they close down, the products they currently produce will come out of China and India. So if you're doing it for the reason of climate change, that's worse for the climate, and it's an absolute disaster for the economy. Now, Labor promised the opposite. Power prices would come down, and but it's going up. And then on the reliability, because we've got now an accelerated closure of our major power plants, the experts, so the Australian Energy Regulator, the Energy Security Board, the market operator, they're all saying there's a higher risk of blackouts. Businesses can't cop that. You can't run a major business, manufacturing business, with blackouts.
Right.
So this is the big risk we have.
Yeah. Okay. Surely good news, though, yesterday, the fact that the government got a commitment out of particularly the Queensland LNG producers who are exporting most of it. There was the fear there'd be a gas shortage sometime next year. They've given an assurance that, no, that won't happen. And surely that's good news.
Look, I definitely welcome the fact that there's now an agreement to try to keep more gas in Australia. But, Richard, the problem is it doesn't deal with the main issue. And, again, the main issue is prices. And prices is related to supply. Now, what the government didn't say, this is where they fell short, right? What they didn't say is that they want to develop more gas. So we've got gas basins in Queensland, New South Wales, Victoria, Northern Territory. Now, the new Labor government is trying to demonise the development of gas. I mean, the energy minister calls it BS. I mean, it's extraordinary. All of the experts are saying what we need is more gas. So yesterday, yes, good, but it was just a reallocation of the gas we have. What we need is more gas altogether.
All
you can only do that if you unlock new basins. Labor is refusing to provide the incentives to do so.
All right. Well, we've seen the exodus of Paul Broad from Red Energy, Snowy Hydro, and I've spoken to Paul on a number of occasions about this gas peaking plant that they're building in the Lower Hunter Valley here at Currycurry on the former Hydro Aluminium site. And he was of the opinion that we should be building those right around the country. Do you agree with that?
Well, look, we absolutely do need more gas, not just coming out of the ground, but we do need more plants so that they can deliver. And that's why we did Currycurry in the first place, right, as a coalition government.
Yes.
The problem that's with what's happened to Paul Broad, I don't know Paul well, Richard, but the few engagements I've had with him, I really like him because he's a straight shooter.
He certainly
is. Tells you straight, which is what you want. Now, he told the new government straight when it came to their plans for green hydrogen coming out of Currycurry, and he was gone within the week. I think Paul Broad is a giant of a commercial player in Australia. And if the new government is not prepared to take fearless advice from people who know the industry, then who are they listening to?
Right. Our Climate and Energy Minister, Chris Bowen, has criticised your party's ongoing push for a debate on nuclear energy. You're very much in favour of having that debate, aren't you?
Yeah, I really am, Richard, and I'm baffled by Labor on this one. All we are saying is, why can't we, as Australia, have a mature conversation about the cleanest form of industrial scale energy in the world? So, you know, 10% of the world's energy comes from nuclear. It's emissions free. All other G20 countries are looking at this or are actually producing nuclear at the moment. Our biggest allies are ramping it up. But the government is refusing to even have a conversation about it. And this is, again, going back to yesterday's news about AGL taking a baseload power station out of the system before there's going to be a replacement there, and yet the government's saying, we don't want to talk about nuclear, which is one option. Now, as an opposition, the Liberal National Party, we're not saying it has to be nuclear, but what we are saying is we are amidst an energy crisis. It's going to get worse in Australia. Most of our allies around the world have nuclear energy. We should at least look at this thing. The government is refusing to even have a discussion.
Okay, look, I might come back to where we started. You were saying that the government in the lead up to the election were promising they'd bring energy prices down. I mean, if you were still in power, how would you go about doing that, Ted?
Well, we would have done things very differently from the get-go, because on day one in this role, Richard, I was saying that you need to threaten the gas producers, that you will pull what was referred to as the gas trigger, a piece of legislation. It took over 2 months of Labor saying that that was a joke, can't be done, to suddenly then say, all right, we might pull the trigger. So we would have acted sooner with the gas suppliers. Secondly, we had a capacity mechanism in place, which is like an insurance scheme, right? So more renewables come in, they need help to be firmed up when, you know, the sun isn't shining, the wind isn't blowing. So you basically, we had this mechanism in place. All the experts said coal and gas should be included. So in other words, you pay like an insurance to keep them alive as renewables come in. Labor has changed that. The energy minister has made it clear, nope, we do not want coal, we do not want gas. We would have gone a very different direction on that. And the point I made earlier about unlocking more gas into the system. There's three examples of very substantive things we would have been doing differently, which is why, Richard, by the way, you know, it's not like suddenly we've got a climate change and energy issue in Australia. We've had this for some time, right? The last term of government, we got energy prices down. So between 8 and 10%, they came down. And we also got emissions down. So there is a way to decarbonise the Australian economy without punishing the people of Australia or the businesses, but I fear Labor's taking us down a very dangerous pathway.
My guest, Ted O'Brien, who's the Shadow Climate Change and Energy Minister, and thanks for your time this morning, Ted. Just a couple of things on a different subject. You're a past chair of the Australian Republic Movement, which, you know, many people might think for an LNP member from Queensland is certainly not the norm. We've seen the passing of Queen Elizabeth now, the longest reigning monarch ever. Do you think the appetite for a republic will now change?
Look, over time it might, Richard. I think I was really proud, to be honest, of Australia as a whole with how we very openly mourned the loss of an absolute giant in Queen Elizabeth II. And I think it's a reminder to people that you can believe in an Australian as a future head of state, while also being completely respectful and admiring the extraordinary service and selflessness of Queen Elizabeth II. Will it emerge as an issue? I'm sure it will as time goes on, but, you know, ultimately it has to come at the will of the Australian people. And if the Australian people start having an appetite for it, well, that's who needs to provide the leadership here.
Right. Okay, no Queensland teams in the grand final on Sunday.
Mate, I know. Isn't this a disaster? This is what we should have been talking about the whole time, hey? I'm an old Broncos fan, mate, but I would have gone Cowboys pretty damn quickly if we got them there.
Well, you got a coach of the year there in Todd Payton anyway. You got
That's
something.
True.
So do you have a favourite out of Penrith or Parramatta?
Look, I don't. I sort of think probably Parramatta. I reckon the Eels, I don't know. I'm probably just because I'm a little bit excited about the possibility of them having the men's and women's
Well, they're playing the Knights, though, in the women's. We don't want them to win that one.
There you go. We might have to end on a disagreement then, mate.
Really appreciate your time this morning, Ted.
Have a
great weekend.
You too. Cheers, mate.
Ted O'Brien. Interesting, isn't he? You know, he's a Queenslander, a Liberal National Party member from Queensland, sits obviously with the government, and he's the Shadow Climate Change and Energy Minister, and is a former chair. He was for about 3 or 4 years back in the early 2000s, chair of the Australian Republic Movement.